Isn't it time for illegal ham in the face?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports and, of course, food on our semi-famous Fat Boy Thursday. Here are your hosts, Fatty and Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? I am here, Big Bri. We'll be back in here in a second. I hope you all enjoyed our new intro that we just got done. Welcome on into Illegal Ham to the Face. We got a big show for you tonight. We have a special guest, Zach Weiss from Across the Cavs, is joining us tonight to talk Cavs night. We got the Browns free agency to dive into. We got St. Paddy's Day to talk about. And then finally, our top three St. Paddy's Day foods and drinks. This Sunday is St. Paddy's Day, so we're going to have some fun talking about that. I am your host, Jared Fatty Bates. He is your co-host, Big Bri. What's going on, big boy?
Hey, man. Nothing. Living the dream.
Gotta love it, right? Beautiful week so far here in Cleveland. Oh,
sweet.
Hey, t-shirt and shorts time, Bri. T-shirt and shorts time.
Mmm.
Oh, yeah. Busted it out.
Funk that.
Whitest legs in the 440 area has got to belong to me. Trying to get the farmer's tan going really good. You know how that goes. You got,
right?
No matter what, when you take your socks off, you still got socks on, buddy.
Mine were the worst. They called me monkey feet because it was night and day from my ankles to my feet when I played sand volleyball. It was not a pretty sight.
I made the mistake of one time wearing my the Crocs with holes in them. And I looked like a cheetah. I had little dots all over my feet. I'm like, oh, do I got a disease or something? Like, I was all worried what the hell was going on with my feet. I was like, well, I guess I figured out what it was. So,
rash.
Oh, good God. So, everybody in Cleveland, enjoy the weather. It is beautiful outside. Our show is brought to you by Harold Keel and Lake Erie APA, also City Dogs Cleveland. And we're on Network 216 along with Illegal Ham. So, catch us there at Network_216 and at Ham Illegal. Go there, give us a like and subscribe. We love it. I did have a fatty fail in the comments already by Justin because we were running a little behind because I had to show Bri our new intro. So if everybody liked new intro, give us a thumbs up in the comments. We are here in the comments. So as we get Zach on here a little bit later, if you have any questions, throw them up in the comments. We'll try to get them out to Zach as quickly as possible. But it's going to be a fun show today, Bri. I can't wait. Do you have any shout-outs this week, buddy? Anything you want to talk about?
Nope, no shout-outs for me.
Hey, same here, bud.
Cool.
I just can't wait for next week, boys' spring break, and we are on vacay. So I can't wait. It's not a major vacay. We're just taking them to Great Wolf Lodge and just letting them play. And then we're going to go down. I might be live in the Columbus, Ohio studios, in the Skinny Boy studios down at the Span's house. So we're going to have fun down there. So you might get a little picture of Span next week as we jump right back into probably more Browns talk with all the signings that have been going on.
Mr. Runner-up himself
a couple years in a row. And thank God you said something, Bri, because I definitely got to get this belt out. I keep forgetting to get this belt out. I need you to text me tomorrow and say, hey, mail it
out.
I'll
try to remind you. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Bri, let's get our show started like we always do. It is your turn for trivia, correct?
Correct.
All right. Let me play the sounder, and we still have Winona here. So let me pull up her real quick, our little girl from last week, Winona. if you can, please go adopt her. I did see a lot of the dogs that we had on the show the past few weeks, Bri, have been adopted, but she is still in a foster home. So if you could please go adopt this girl, that would be absolutely amazing. Such a sweet girl, and what a beautiful program City Dogs have. They got they had pictures last weekend with the Easter Bunny and the City Dog mascot. And then they got a whole bunch of stuff coming up this summer with the Bria J or WJ Lodge tailgate with Top Dog Tailgate. They're going to be downtown at the couple concerts there at Brown Stadium. And of course, we got our venue coming up here, right? Probably the first or second away game of the football season. Come party with us. See if you can't get some big money raised for City Dogs Cleveland and watch a football game. Have a good time. All right, Bri, let me play the sounder and let's get into your trivia this week. All right, big boy. What do you got for me? Is it going to be football this week?
No, I went with a little basketball in order to kind of get us in the mood for talking Cavs and them kind of being the only show in town right now, at least playing meaningful games. So it's a Cavs trivia, and I'm looking for how many players on the current roster were a top five pick in the NBA draft.
Okay. All right. The current roster, right?
Yep. I mean, yes, correct. Yep.
All right.
I don't want to trip you up too much with the language. Don't overthink it. It's assembled now, don't be like, well, this guy is doing this. All right. I don't want to give you any hints.
Well, I can't overthink it now because it really doesn't have anything to do with Michigan. You know, you normally throw me a little bamboozle there with
Have a Michigan player on the roster. Do you know that?
I saw that and I am very excited.
That should be should have been my trivia for this week. Do you know that answer?
Oh yeah, it's Devin Bush.
No, for the Cavs.
Who did we get for the Now I'm running through my head.
There's a Cavs player who went to Michigan on the team, and he plays. It's not like a deep bench player or something.
Don't tell me it's Strews.
Nope. My man, Caris LeVert.
Oh, he doesn't count.
What do you mean he doesn't count?
He doesn't count, Bri. Obviously, he's not a starter.
How can you hate on one of our own? How can you hate on...
I see
where your allegiance lie.
Bri, just my blood runs scarlet and gray, buddy. I'm sorry.
I'm aware.
I know that you cut ties as soon as they get out of college and you're just kind of like over it. You're like, nope. But you still like to throw those little daggers in there, those little ninja stars of, your wonderful Michigan trivia with your Charles Woodson and stupid Heisman pose in the end zone and, all that kind of crap.
You mentioned him already. When Devin Bush went to the Steelers, I was good riddance. See you later. I loved that he was a bust and he sucked for them. So,
and now he's here.
Now I got to root for him, but it's very low risk. Very low risk. And we got Maurice Hurst, who I can root for. He's a Brown. Now I disliked him for many years, and I think he was in Seattle last year. But he's on the Browns. I'll root for you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Jerome Baker. I was going to ask you. Well, now we're getting off topic. Did they sign? I thought I heard something that they signed Jerome Baker. They didn't?
Who, the Browns?
Yeah.
No, Baker went somewhere else. And here, let me look it up real quick.
Oh, he did sign with somebody else?
I think so. Or he's still out there. Yeah, we'll look it up later.
So you're telling me the Browns picked a Michigan guy over an Ohio State guy?
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. And, also, plus he's a Cleveland guy. That's what really sucks.
Mm. Did he go to Glenville?
Yes.
Oh, he did.
No. Yes.
That would have been cool. That would have been a fun story.
Well,
Greenhunt's still out there.
He's going to be out there for a little bit. we'll dive into the Browns here in a little bit, Bri. Special guest. Zach Weiss is here in the bullpen from Across the Cavs. You can find him at Across the Cavs and also at Network 216. Let's bring on Zach in here. What's going on, Zach?
Starting off with the mute, best way.
Hey, man.
Hey, Zach, that's why we have these two wonderful pictures right here. We have the fatty fail right there, and then we have the Bri fail. So those come up every time we do stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about that. You just been in right round.
Beautiful. But yeah, great to be with you guys. Crazy, crazy time for the Cavs, for both good and bad. But at the end of the day, having a team to root for this long and for 2.5 hours a night, a couple times a week, really is the best way to take all the energy of the day and throw it into something positive. So love what's happening with the team this year. And even though they've had some tough losses, second in the East, we couldn't have predicted this any better.
No, and that's what Brian brought up a question for me before the show started, like how many teams are actually above the Cavs in the NBA. There's only a handful. There's only like six, I said, right, Bri?
No, I thought you said three in the West, and then just the Celtics right now, I think, have a better record than the Cavs, and the Bucks are tied with them.
Yeah, that's still crazy. Like, to have this and not have LeBron James on a team and have this is kind of weird for the past, you know, how many years of Cleveland basketball.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. And to confirm, yeah, there's four in the West with a higher winning percentage and then just Boston. So still ranking sixth, thinking about, right, it's the 97, and I talk about this all the time because this is well before I was a Cavs fan. Well, not well, 5 or 6 years. But 97, 98, the Cavs with four rookies in the rotation and Mike Fratello somehow went 47-35 and stole a first-round game from the Pacers before getting bounced in the old best-of-five format in four. And then you have to, and they still haven't won a play. So you have to go before then to find their last non-LeBron playoff series win. It's 1992-93 that they last won a playoff series without.
Wow.
Right? It's a long time. That's older than me. I was not alive when that happened, right? It's a different time. And this team right now definitely has pressure. I think there's a couple teams along with the Cavs. The Sacramento Kings, another one who lost in the first round after emerging last year. I think the Cavs are in the same boat. They have a lot of pressure to advance because if they don't, Donovan has 1 year left. JB failed them twice. And with all this money tied up, they're about to pay Evan and Isaac too. You start to ask some questions if they don't. So we're enjoying the regular season, but as soon as game number 83 happens and starts, that is where every 48 minutes has a lot more on the line.
Yeah, you know, that's sobering to think that it's been the early 90s since we've won a playoff series, but we were pretty spoiled with that LeBron guy. So as we talked, the Cavs are second in the East, still hoping to get that number two spot. So looking at the West, top two seeds in the East, you know, that would put the Cavs top maybe four or five team in the NBA, but I heard, I think last week I was watching some show or maybe it was a podcast, and Shams Charania was naming all of the championship level quality contending teams, and he named nine teams and he did not even make a whisper about the Cavs. So in his mind, the Cavs are not part of the top nine. So in your mind, do you think we're closer to the top maybe four teams, or are we closer to like the 10th team right now?
I feel like it's a tricky question because most of these teams are coming from the West. I didn't hear the exact list, but my best guess would be pretty much five guarantees from the West, and maybe Dallas / Lakers or Warriors might have snuck into that list, just knowing that even though they're both in the play-in right now, the Lakers went from the play-in to the conference finals last year. And then I could see them or the Warriors, the Mavericks, the Kings, the Suns, any of those teams that have to win this emergency game still doing that. The only teams from the East that are definitively better than the Cavs is Boston. Milwaukee, I still think with their, if they're fully healthy, Middleton's been out for over a month now. At full strength and adding guys like Gallinari and Beverly definitely put the Bucks maybe slightly above. But the Cavs play a better brand of basketball and seem to get blown out, with the exception of that Nets game, a lot less. I'd put them closer to that top 5-6. There is a world, and I hate to say this, there is also a world where the Cavs lose in the first round. We don't want that to happen. No one wants that to happen, right? But that world is not far from us, because all it takes is one injury. Because the way they've played with their injuries has been magnificent. But you get into a series where a team sees you every second or third day. And yes, I know the whole hot dog talk. I know the whole cube rule. We can talk about that.
Oh, jeez.
I don't live by it. people close to me live by it. I've had it explained. But before we do that, finishing up on this point, what I will say is they will not beat anybody in the playoffs without Allen and Mobley both on the court. I love how Dean and Niang have filled in. Really appreciated Damian Jones. Tristan is eligible to return for the next game, which is a huge, huge boost for the bench. But if Evan's not out there, they have no chance. They need their whole starting five so they can have their full complement of bench players of Okoro, of LeVert, of Wade, Niang, Merrill, whoever they want to put it, Craig. Because if they're fully healthy, they have what they didn't last year, which is actual depth and options across the board of who they could sub in. And that is what they didn't have against the Knicks. They had to ride with struggling guys. Not anymore.
With the depth you're talking about, with how they've come around with Sam Merrill being just a sharpshooter, and then it's been different guys here and there with, you know, Strus, Niang, with Okoro's game stepped up this year. What guys should we look for here in the postseason to come off the bench to really make an impact? I mean, Bry's rooting for his Michigan boy, LeVert. But, you know, is there somebody that can come off the bench and get a good, you know, 10 to 15 points to help out the starters when they get in these playoffs?
Yeah, so I think the version of LeVert, and yeah, shout out, Bry. Shout out to LeVert right now. His assists right now are something we haven't seen from a non-point guard in the Cavs really since LeBron. And there are not that many players in the NBA that can come off the bench and put up 7 to 10 assists over the course of a couple of weeks. You really don't see those types of players. You've seen Westbrook's assists drop off. Hope his hand gets well soon. But you've seen his assists drop off in the reserve role. Harris has come in, and instead of being the scorer over these last couple weeks that he normally was, he's been the playmaker. It's why his assists are closer to what they were in his Brooklyn days versus his Cavs days. And to answer your question directly, I think in an ideal world, you're rolling out 8. But I think the best situation for the Cavs at full strength in a game that's going to be tight, you unfortunately would probably say no to Sam Merrill unless there's an injury. Right? Because I think first it's going to be Okoro. I'd probably bring in first. I bring in Karras right after. And then Niang will come in to play the non-Evan or Jarrett minutes. And then at times they could go small. Isaac or Karras could play the 4, matchup dependent. I think against an Indiana, which is a possible matchup, I would be okay with Isaac Okoro guarding Pascal for extended stretches of time. But if you're facing a Knicks team again, which is a possibility, you know, I wouldn't want to see a smaller lineup with those guys out there, especially after how the Knicks ate the Cavs last year. If you're facing Miami, I'd feel very confident rolling out a smaller lineup because outside of Bam, they really have no effective bigs. They've been starting Nikola Jovic. Kevin Love's been in and out of the lineup. You know, Haywood Highsmith's taking a bit of a step back. They've gone smaller. They don't have the same team they did last year. And they went small last year too, but they just don't have that power forward that can play 30 minutes that's big. So I would trust the Cavs' height in a big way against Miami. But 10 to 15, I think, would have to be Niang. And in an emergency situation, I would feel like Sam Merrill could get you 15 in a playoff game. I just don't know if he's going to get the minutes and touches when they have everybody available.
Sure. And I last week, if you didn't listen to the show, I was hard on the Cavs because I have – big expectations for them. I think they should at this point be at least maybe not be able to beat the Bucks and the Celtics, but at least compete with the Bucks and Celtics in like a 7-game series. And I feel like right now, based on what happened last year, I don't even know if we can beat the Knicks and the Sixers at full strength. But I'm open to seeing how this team comes together. And I'm feeling better after last night's win. But one of the catalysts to last night, and I know he didn't do much last night, is Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, we all kind of agree that he's the number one guy, but I maybe view this team a little differently than some, where I think we go as Donovan Mitchell goes. I think if anything happens to him, we're kind of dead in the water. I don't know if we have much of a ceiling without Donovan Mitchell. I don't see Allen or Garland or Mobley putting the team on their back if he goes down. So I guess, what do you think their ceiling could be? Can they still win a playoff series if something happens to Donovan Mitchell and we have to roll with a big 3 instead of a big 4?
Well, if we're looking at an entire series, I think that's different versus if he plays a part of it. But I think to your point, the reason that Dallas brought in Kyrie was because they had a problem with Dinwiddie when they lost Brunson, that if you're going to double Luka or they're going to try and take him out of the game, no one else can run consistently and no one's going to give you that production off those double teams. So I think, and obviously the Cavs aren't a heavily doubled team, but Darius plays better when he's got another star next to him like Donovan. What we saw last night, 27, 6, and 11, extremely efficient night, over 50% from both the floor overall and from three. I think that as Donovan is healthy, everyone gets more looks around him, which is why Strus plays his best when they have their full complement of options, because that's when the ball's moving. You can't double anybody, and if you do, well, you're leaving one of the most confident shooters in the league wide open. I don't think they could win a full playoff series without Donovan. I also don't think Donovan needs to dominate. Now, in their one playoff win last year, I believe was the night he scored 38 against the Knicks in game two. But I don't think he needs to do everything. He has to just – what he needs to do is keep them honest. He's having an off shooting night. There's no reason to stop trying, but you stop forcing it. So move the ball and get the shots naturally, because there's so many stars in the league that can get 30 shots in a 48-minute game while actually staying in the system. And I think if whatever they want to run, occasionally play through the bigs, you'll have the big-to-big action. When they have Allen and Mobley together, you know the lob game is working even better. Everyone in that starting lineup can pass the ball at a high level. We've seen it from Max Strus, who has the most assists for him of anybody, the best assist connection on the Cavs is Strus to Mobley. And the second I want to say is Strus to Allen. They do a lot with one another. Garland feeds well off the bigs, and Donovan also feeds well off the bigs. And when you have that full, healthy starting lineup, I think Strus is arguably the second best screen setter, and you could even argue first, the number one screen setter on the Cavs. It's his motion, it's his movement. To those that were speaking negatively of Strus because he was having a shooting slump, they were ignoring his assist numbers, his rebound numbers, his plus minus, which does matter, not on an individual level, but what you're doing for the team. And they're clearly not watching him screen and move around. Because when he moves, when Strus is out there setting his screens, there are open shots for everybody. So long answer, yes, they can win with Donovan. But if you subtract him from the situation, then, well, it's going to become hero ball in the fourth quarter, which is why those losses to Atlanta and New York ended up happening.
As the playoffs, I mean, we got, 16 games left before we get to the playoffs. I got two questions. One, how bad is Evan Mobley hurt? I saw the sprain. He should be back here within, the next week or two, right?
Should be. I don't have a direct timeline. I haven't seen anybody post anything differently. But I am weary because it happened on a dunk landing, which means no one else was there. So the worst case was that he landed funny on his own, and that was – coming from a higher distance, so it might be more severe because of how long it took to get to the ground versus contesting a shot and landing versus coming off the rim, no matter how tall he is. It's never an easy thing.
So no, hold on. We got to back that up a little. All right, he's almost 7 foot. He's only got a 2 foot drop. If I fell down from that rim, it'd be a lot different.
Okay. Weight than that. No, that's and I'd probably be in the same boat as you. It's like, but still. Because he wasn't planted, he wasn't ready, might be even worse because there's more of him that has to land, even if he is starting at a higher distance. And he has the longer legs to land shorter. I think because it was so unexpected on it, he wasn't paying attention to it. It could be worse, right? Because there's no padding. Even when you land on someone's foot, when you're landing on a shot, you do the best you can. But in this case, no one was close to him. It was his himself. Which is why it could be scarier as opposed to being contact. But every situation is different with the healing process on that.
And with us coming close to the playoffs here, we have an array of teams, and it's a wide range of who we could play in the playoffs. What team scares you the most that we'd be matched up against in the first round?
I mean, it would have to, and this is possible because there's a two-game difference between 4 and 6 in the East. It would have to be New York just because of what happened last year. And you'd love to try and prove it against them at another time than now. But, as we look at things, Bucks are an impossibility for round one. It's probably going to be some variation of Miami, Indiana, Philly, Orlando. I would, if Embiid is out, the Sixers would be the first team I'd want to play. No question. They lack in size. They throw Mo Bamba in the game, but he can't stick for more than a short stretch. Paul Reed's very effective, but I think he'd be a little ineffective against the bigs that the Cavs have. You know, I think about Indiana, and that's a very tricky one because they really controlled the Cavs during the regular season when they got together. They're a very, very tricky bunch. Even with some injuries, they lost Mathurin for the season. But I think with guys like TJ McConnell and Pascal there together, they add more playoff experience. I think Tyrese is very hungry to prove people wrong. I would not want Orlando either just because this might be their first playoff. And you do not want to be facing a team that is hitting their stride at this point in the season when you get to the playoffs, because you saw Paolo's already an all-star. Franz is a borderline all-star. And when they're fully, fully healthy, you're looking at a bench that's got Joe Ingles, who brought all that experience from Utah, Mo Wagner, who gets chippy with the Cavs and cooked them the last time we got together, Jonathan Isaac, who's healthy for the first time in 4 years, still one of the best defensive players in the league. You got Markel Fultz and Jalen Suggs, two very good defensive guards. You know, they're just such a tricky bunch with that, and I think they're very well coached, and I feel like they're going to be in every game. You're not going to blow them out with what the Cavs do and how they play. So I guess the team I'd be most scared of that's realistic would be the Magic and maybe Miami, but I would most prefer to probably face off with either Indiana or Philadelphia.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. If Embiid's not there, it'd be nice to see them. And now that we've covered the landscape of the current situation in the East, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. And sure. I just came up with this the other day, and it was always one-sided before, but now maybe some people are starting to question it. So I think a lot of us would agree that if we had to choose, I'm somebody who frankly doesn't think that the two big men and the 2 6-foot guards necessarily work. And so I think guard wise, we would always, if we had the choice, we would take Donovan Mitchell moving forward. So I shift my focus to the big men. If you had to choose right now, not think you had to cut one of them, not thinking about what you can get in trades, not thinking about salary or anything like that. Like, if you had to choose one guy going forward, would you choose Jared Allen or would you choose Evan Mobley? Because it's always been Evan Mobley, but his progression is kind of starting to slow a little bit. And I think Allen is kind of the fan favorite, and you can't deny his production.
No, you definitely can't deny Allen's production. And I'm going to – my prelude to this is that this is all hypothetical. This is it.
Right.
This is one of those, all right, Martians have the death beam. You have to decide who are you going to choose.
Yeah, exactly.
And in that instance, I would actually disagree with picking Jared Allen, and I have a couple of reasons. Now, I will also add that I love him. He's played, 62 games in a row. They've needed consistency in a year of injuries. He's played 62 straight. Niang hasn't missed one, and with Truce's injury, no one else has been that durable throughout the course of the entire season. So it's wonderful that he's been able to stay on the court because they miss him when he's not there. And the reason I pick Evan Mobley is because in just his second season last year, he was already top three in defensive player of the year voting. And he's 21, 22 years of age, right? If we're talking about the 80s or different 90s, different era, he would have been coming out at 22. Wouldn't have even seen him on the court in the NBA yet. When he first came back from injury, his three-point shot showed progression. I don't think it needs to be there. I just think you need to keep teams honest. And I think that at the end of the game, if he's spaced out, if he's confident enough to take it, then take it. The big thing with shooters is not what they're going to do for the full 45. It's if they're playing at the end of the game, can you trust them to make the shot? Which is why Coro's value in the last year and a half has gone up even more because he's already been an elite defender. He's had a couple of game winners over these last few seasons, most notably against Brooklyn with 0.6 last year. Allen is very solid, but he still doesn't have it from the outside. You know, he does everything you could want. He's the complete package as a big man on the defensive end. He's gotten so much better. His rebounding has improved significantly. There are some nights he doesn't show up on the glass, but I think when he comes to play, he really comes to play. I think Evan's mobility, Evan's quickness, perhaps, and his ability to go coast to coast every now and then to give, to really put, keep the defense honest. I love his contesting ability. He can guard all five positions. And I think when you're thinking about, and you have to consider the money, even if you don't want to, just because of the nature of how everything has been working in today's day and today's game, you have to take Evan for his youth, for the growth that we still haven't seen, or we don't know how much better Jarrett would get it. And this, again, if we had to, and I feel like Evan is easier to plug in potentially than Allen, depending, because you don't have to just lob him. You could give him the ball at the top. You could have him run cuts, use him as a screen and roller. I mean, same with Allen, but I think Mobley fits in better if you're just plugging him in somewhere versus Jared Allen, who's kind of locked into playing one position.
Hey, I agree with you on that one.
So do I. I didn't know if the faith in Evan Mobley's progression is wavering with some people, but I still have faith that he can hopefully develop an outside shot, and certainly his defense is top notch.
I agree. There's a lot that he brings to the table, and like he has off nights. The injuries they happen to everybody. You know, the NBA this year just been so injured across the board, really crazy. And then with the new award system, Donovan won't win anything this year. There's a number of other players that won't win. I agree for the major awards. I'm not here to debate that. I agree for the major awards: MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year. But all NBA, I think, should have a different standard. But with that said, both bigs offer a lot. But I do think that we are living in the Evan Mobley future, whereas we're living right now in the Jared Allen present. And because this is a long-term question, and when you think about who you want around for the next couple versus the now, Evan's going to go up. Let's see how Jared continues to play.
All right. Now, Zach, can't thank you enough for joining us, but before we give you the big boot out of here, all right, I got a couple food questions for you. All right. Sure. Now, this is what Brian and I like to do and have some fun with food here in Fat Boy Thursday. We do have St. Patty's Day coming up.
We do.
What is your favorite thing to do for St. Patty's Day?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, actually, this is going to be the second year in a row that I'm working on St. Patty. I know it's a weekend.
Oh, man.
No, I do. In addition to my regular day gig, I do broadcasting. So I'll be calling a St. John's softball game on Sunday. So that'll be a fun
cool.
Hours. Tradition on St. Patty's Day. All right. You know what? I would say I do live right near an Irish pub. So I don't know if this is a tradition. It's only happened once. But waiting 90 minutes for wings because we went to lunch at the Irish pub on St. Patty's Day is my favorite. On St. Patrick's Day.
All right. And last but not least, Bri, I have had this argument for years, and it's not that is a hot dog is a taco. We'll get to that when we bring you back on again. But Bri and I have discovered that Bri has a meat to bread ratio for the perfect sandwich. Okay. I, however, don't think there is a meat to bread ratio. What about you? Is there a meat to bread ratio to make the perfect sandwich?
Yeah, I think if you want a really good sandwich, I think first off, make sure that your first bite can get to the meat. You don't want to stack it too much that you can't get right to it. Because if you're just getting vegetable and bread or whatever else you've added on that first bite, you're really missing out. And then the perfect ratio would be that it's either it's very close to sticking out. I think you don't want it to be too thick. I think you want to let the ingredients breathe because a really good sandwich features the prominence of the taste of your meat, but adds a nice relish or nice garnish rather with what else you're putting on it. So I quit saying go on a baguette. It's like this long, right? This long. You want the meat to be about here. We're stopping there. You want it to be about right there. So you go first big bite, and sure, you're getting right in close to it.
So you're not a fan of like the jumbo overstuffed sandwich, yeah, like corned beef sandwiches, any of that?
No, he's on my side.
No, so when I go out to eat, I'm looking for a sandwich, and they have the fat sandwiches now where you're stacking it with six or seven things. I want to say I haven't had one of those in about 7 or 8 years.
Well, now I feel like a complete fat ass.
You're living up to your name here. He wants a sandwich that's half a foot tall and like two pieces of Wonder Bread and just like 3/4 of a pound of meat in between. And I said, that's not a sandwich.
Well, see, it can be a sandwich. It's not the ideal sandwich, but I think it depends. Are you having the sandwich with the anticipation of you're having chips, or you're having a side salad, or you're saving up room for the dessert right after? Because when that that comes into play, that would actually change what kind of sandwich you wanted, I would say. Because if you
normally I just finish the sandwich and go, all right, am I full yet? No, what's next?
Okay, well then, so you don't prepare it at once. You're just having the sandwich with, and you're waiting to see where it goes.
Oh yeah, like I'll have the fries there, but the sandwich is going down first.
Ah, see, that's where I disagree, and that's my closing note. I don't know why I disagree. That's what you do. I can't disagree, so that's not the right phrase. But I will say, I think it's important if you're going to get a sandwich of any kind, you need a side of something to eat with it. Because if not, I'm a very fast eater. I will clear that sandwich in 5 to 10 minutes if I'm not having a conversation with somebody while I'm eating. And I feel like if I made it myself, that stinks. I put a lot more than 5 to 10 minutes into making it. And if I get it at a restaurant that's dine in, it's like, all right, now I'm done eating in 5 or 10 minutes. This stinks. I didn't get a side with it. And what's the third option? If you're eating with friends, you're out with friends and you get this sandwich, that sandwich is going to last a long time if it's your good friend group, because you're talking the whole meal. No one cares whose mouth is open. So you're going to have more time to eat, and then it won't matter what comes with it.
All right, but I can't thank you enough for joining us. Please put out your show right here.
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of the show is Across the Cavs, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, the works. On Twitter, I'm at Across Cavs. And then if you want to get me on LinkedIn, there is a LinkedIn. I don't use it much anymore. But we got Instagram at Across the Cavs, Twitter at Across Cavs. Might be a Facebook page coming to try and move the Instagram over to Meta, but we will see about that.
But I can't thank you enough for joining us. Thank you for all the Cavs insight tonight. We're definitely going to have to meet up and go to a Cavs game together, all right?
Absolutely. I'll see you in Cleveland.
All right. Have a great night,
thank you,
bud.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you. That was Zach Weiss from Across the Cavs. Man, what a great interview, dude. And I'm telling you what, knows his shit, man. He knows his shit, right?
Sure does. I learned a heck of a lot from that interview right there, for sure. Getting me up to date. That was awesome.
I love having guys like that on, especially that are knowledgeable, know what they're talking about. He does every Cavs game. He does like a little quick post game show, talk about the Cavs game, everything else. And like you said, catch him at Across the Cavs. You can catch him everywhere, YouTube, all that. Great show. Great thing he does there with the Cavs, and just a really nice guy. And we're definitely going to have to go to a Cavs game with him one time and just, he'd be like the jelly in between the two peanut butter sandwich, Brian. That'd be perfect.
I don't know what you're referencing, but I'll have a couple beers first.
Now that you're drinking again. He said, I learned that he hasn't heard the hot dog is a taco argument. Oh, no, he heard it. I'm still pushing that agenda, Justin. I'm still pushing that agenda. All right, Brian. Let's get back into our show. Can't thank Zach enough again for his time. It is time for NFL free agency, Bri. And holy shit, was the wheel just moving and firing off on, started Monday and just went nuts all the way up until pretty much today. We do have some new signings and we have some people that are gone. Let's get to the people that are gone now. Michael Ford is now in Houston. Joe Flacco is in Indianapolis. Harrison Bryant, Justin, Las Vegas. Anthony Walker went to Miami. Talkie, New England. Nick Harris went to Seattle. And Jordan Elliott went to San Francisco. A lot of great guys on that list. I wish we could re-sign them, but I also see what the Browns are trying to do and trying to move around. Bryce, there one guy on that list that you think we might miss a lot?
I've been an advocate for Anthony Walker in the past. I think it seems for whatever funny reason, maybe it's just coincidence, whenever he's not on the field, our defense has had some games where they struggle. And so whether it could be coincidence, could be the other coach In the Houston game, really knowing his stuff and knowing what works against his defense and scheming up a gem. But yeah, I feel like we have a very good defense when he's on the field, and when he's not on the field, it's maybe just above average, it seems like sometimes. So I don't know. He would be the one guy that kind of sticks out to me.
I 100% agree with you on that one. I loved him when he's here. I know he was injured a lot, Brian. I know that kind of put a damper on a lot of things, but man, his leadership and the way he controlled the team, I just enjoyed. And it's going to suck not having him here. The one shocker for me was Harrison Bryant going out to Las Vegas. I didn't see that one coming. I thought they might just try to re-sign him for a cheaper deal and keep him here, but you know, now we got other holes that are opening up. But the one big news that happened before even free agency hit that we really got to get into is, Brian, we got Jerry Jeudy for a fifth and a sixth round pick. Now, if I recall, last week when we talked, I said the Browns probably wouldn't go for a wide receiver unless they got a deal like Amari Cooper's deal. Guess what? They did. Now, the only thing that sucks about it is Jerry Jeudy is a first round talent, hasn't lived up to the hype yet. He's been injured a lot, Bri, and he's on the last year of his contract. So, with that being said, are you happy with this signing of Jerry Jeudy, bringing Jerry Jeudy here to Cleveland?
Yeah, I view it as maybe similar to the Lajmore deal, a high draft pick. And he has more talent than Lajmore did, but – he hasn't maxed it out yet. He's had some injury issues. And he's just, I guess he's just a dart throw. You know, we don't know what we're going to get from him. It's Andrew Berry trying to make a play for somebody who had at one point a ton of talent and still probably does have a ton of talent. And he's got some speed and he has some great route running. And you know, I remember him coming out of Alabama. He was the top wide receiver, I think, in that draft, and people were talking about him like he could be the next great Alabama receiver, and it just didn't work out in Denver. And so, yeah, it's another guy. I feel like I said, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, DT and wide receiver, we keep going up to the plate. We keep taking cuts at it until we find something that works. And Amari Cooper, you know, certainly worked. Dalvin Tomlinson certainly worked, but those were kind of proven commodities before they came here. But then we had guys like Shelby Harris that we brought back and Mo Hurst. And so I think we're looking for that second guy in the wide receiver room, and we're just going to keep taking a bunch of cuts at it until we can find him, whether it be Elijah Moore or Jerry Jeudy. We don't really care if it's one of them, or I still hold out hope that they bring in a Mike Williams and just hope that something happens with him. And you know, we just need somebody other than Amari Cooper. It doesn't matter who it is. Cedric Tillman, you know, the old adage is you don't make any more progress than you do from your first to your second year. So maybe he steps it up in a big way. So yeah, I think they're just keep taking cuts at the plate, hoping that something happens. I think from what I've heard from some radio interviews, Jerry Jeudy's biggest enemy is himself, and maybe he's not the most mature guy, and he doesn't have that professional effort that he needs to have every single play. But he's still young; he's 24 years old. So hopefully, Stefanski, huge advocate for Amari Cooper, and he looked up to him growing up. They grew up in the same place. They both obviously went to Alabama, and you know, I think the Browns are going to be counting on Amari Cooper to do some great things and really get through to Jeudy and show him how to be a professional receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's the one big thing I kind of take away from this is he's getting paired up with Amari Cooper, Bri. I think that, and also, Bri, but it's humbling when you're sitting there and you're one of the top wide receivers in the draft, and you sit there and you brag that you're a first-round guy and I'm a first-round guy. NFL doesn't give a shit about that. But you just got traded for a fifth and a sixth round pick. That's got to be a little humbling, especially getting traded to Cleveland for that fifth and sixth round pick. I'm just saying, because like
you would think he's got a lot of money. How many millions of dollars does he have? Sometimes, screw you guys. I'm set for life. You know, I'll do what I do.
Well, and also you got to live up to the hype a little bit, Brian, because I mean, he was drafted right in front of CD Lamb. He was drafted right in front of Justin Jefferson, Michael Pittman Jr., T. Higgins. There was many wide receivers behind him that have done so much better than he has. But I still like the swings that they're taking, because guess what? If he doesn't ball out this year, it's not a conversation. He's done after this year anyways. We just have him for a year, all right? That's all it is. Dead cap space. You bring him in. If he works out, then you try to re-sign him, everything like that. Same with like Elijah Moore. We took a swing on Elijah Moore. There's still one more year left on that tank. But Elijah Moore is more of a slot receiver, more of a third wide receiver. And this gives you, if he pans out, a legit second receiver to go with Amari Cooper. You're not asking him to be the top dog like they did in Denver. You're asking him to be the one behind the dog, to follow the dog in Amari Cooper. And hopefully, I mean, Brian, I hope he falls in line and that happens. But it's still going to be a crapshoot, bud. And it's going to be, if he has the desire to do it and if he's going to do it here in Cleveland.
Yeah, time will tell. You know, it's just you hope that Stefanski puts his work in and we see why he's the coach of the year. You hope Deshaun Watson or Ken Dorsey can get through to him. And, you know, it's going to be up to Jerry Jeudy whether he has success in Cleveland, because certainly opportunity is there. If he wants to say that it just wasn't a right fit in Denver, Russell Wilson was this and that, and okay, you got a second chance. You might not get a third chance if you don't take advantage of the second chance.
Yeah. Let's get into some other names here, Bri. And when we do that, buddy, I'm going to let you chime in on some players that you want to talk about when we get through this, and I'm going to got to step out for just a split second. I'll be back.
Sure.
But we did resign Za'Darius Smith, Jordan Elliott, Shelby Harris, Jordan Hicks.
Not Jordan. Minnesota. Nope, not Jordan Elliott.
Oh,
Elliott went to
San Francisco. Oh, crap. Let me refresh. I'm sorry. Shelby, Za'Darius Smith, Shelby Harris.
Just Jordan making sure.
Hicks from Minnesota. Quentin Jefferson, we just signed today, I believe. Devin Bush, Giovanni Ricci, Tony Brown, Bojo is back, baby. Corey Bajorquez. We signed Nakeem Hines also. Michael Dunn and Maurice Hurst are all back here in Cleveland. And that is right now. Well, yeah, right now that's all we got here that we have signed in Cleveland. There'll be more to come. But, Brian, why don't you tell me some of the tell the people out here some of the ones that you're excited to have back.
Yeah. So the, and I'm sure we'll get into it in a little bit here. You know, the big, headlines are going to be Joe Flacco and the Browns choosing Jameis Winston over Flacco. But before we get to that, we'll cover all our bases with the other guys. Za'Darius Smith was obviously probably one of the biggest signings, that they had, at least money wise. They gave 2 years, $23 million to him. So clearly they were happy with his production and happy with how he fit into this this defense. And I think a lot of it had to do with his versatility, the fact that you can move him inside on third downs and let him pass rush there and then bring Oboe off the bench and have him be your speed rusher on the outside. So it's basically like you have three defensive ends that can get to the quarterback. So yeah, it's Za'Darius Smith, and his durability was just something that that we can really count on. And even though he's a year older, he's going to be 32 this next year. Having him for 16 games this past year was huge, and he went down a couple times, I remember, with injuries, and you thought, oh, crap, this could end his season, and he got back up, and he kept playing through it. So that was a big one. Defensive line, you know, going to Maurice Hurst and Shelby Harris, those are the two guys that kind of stood out and had plays where you really saw them and, you know, were just in shock. Like, these are the guys that we've been waiting for years, for guys to step up at defensive tackle position. And Dalvin Tomlinson is going to do his thing. He's going to be that run stuffer. So the fact that you bring Hurst back and you bring Shelby Harris back, those are two guys that we feel like we can count on, even though, again, they're getting older. I thought they did a great job last year filling in. And, you know, we didn't ever feel like we got consistent production out of Jordan Elliott. So I think, like, that's why maybe they went in this direction to where, hey, you know, we have Tomlinson. We bring back Hurst. We bring back Shelby Harris. Hopefully those guys can have similar production and they can stay healthy. But also they got this Quentin Jefferson. And he had 5.5 sacks last year with the Jets. He played in a lot of games. And, you know, he's getting up there in age as well. But now that kind of gives you hopefully 4 defensive tackles that you're comfortable with. And I think all of them will see significant time. And then you have 3 defensive ends that you're comfortable with, and they'll see significant time as well. And so you got 7 guys across the front, and that's what Jim Schwartz likes to do. Keep rotating guys in. Obviously, Myles Garrett's going to be in there as much as possible. But these other guys, they're a little bit older. That's maybe a bit of a concern with our defensive line. But, you know, at least for 1 year, maybe 2 years, I think, what was it? Quentin Jefferson's 1 year, Maurice Hurst is 1 year, Shelby Harris is 1 year. So they're all in 1 year mm-hmm. deals. Za'Darius Smith is a 2 year deal. So you're counting on him maybe a little bit more. But yeah, I like it.
Shelby Harris,
I like that
2 year deal.
Oh, Harris is a 2 year deal. Really? That's surprising. So
yeah,
Harris, is he going to be 33? Is he going to be 33 this next year?
He is going to be 33 this next year.
Wow.
32.6 right now. So by the time they play, he'll be turning 33 in the season.
Gotcha. So yeah, maybe a little surprising there, but they must see something. Obviously, they see more than we do. They see his physical abilities, and they're not worried about you know, with Maurice Hurst, he's had a lot of injury concerns, his heart concern at the combine when he came out. So I maybe understand why they don't want to commit to him long term, but 2 year deal for Shelby Harris is big. So after that, moving to linebacker, Jordan Hicks and Devin Bush. You know, I don't know what to expect from them. I feel like Hicks is maybe the guy they're counting on a little more, and Devin Bush is, you know, kind of like Jerry Jeudy, a high draft pick. The 10th pick? I think the Steelers might have traded up for him. So he had a ton of talent coming out, and he just never amounted to a whole lot. And he's dealt with some injuries as well, tearing an ACL. But, you know, he's kind of the low-risk, high-reward guy where you hope he can get that talent back. But if not, Jordan Hicks, I don't know. Is Jordan Hicks going to replace Anthony Walker and have that role as your middle linebacker? What do you think?
I think that's what it's kind of sounding like with Jordan Hicks, is he's going to be that inside thumper. He is a high volume tackle guy. Like, he does not miss tackles that often. He's led Minnesota in tackles, I believe, for like the past couple of years. He is one of those guys that's also a thumper too, and he'll get right in there with the run game and lay somebody out. I'm really curious about Devin Bush. Like you said, he is a high draft pick, but he'll be just turning 26. Like, that's still young, Bri. And to get him on a 1 year deal to kind of, you know, get him, and it's my Bri's turn to take a break. Get him on a 1 year deal the way they did, just to see how well he could do. The one signing that I'm super happy about, I know Bri probably talked about, Za'Darius Smith, and he talked about the defensive line. Bojo, I love having Corey Bohorquez back as our punter. I thought he did a great job for us last year. Also, I love the Mo Hurst signing. I just love me some belly rubs. You can't go wrong with a little belly rub after you get a tackle. But here are the other things that they've signed is Nakeem Hines. I wish they kind of would have gone a different way than Nakeem Hines. I understand why they did it. He's 27. I was hoping for Zach Moss because he's worked with Ken Dorsey before, and you pretty much got him for the same amount of money that what you're paying Nakeem Hines. So I was kind of hoping for that. And when Bri gets back here, we'll talk about the quarterback situation, because it kind of just got crazy with the quarterback situation here. But Bri is back. Let me add him in here. All right, you back, big fella?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
We were talking about Nyheim Hines, and I was saying how big of a signing back Bohorquez. I just love Bohorquez, buddy. I think he's just a but Nyheim Hines, I kind of wanted Zach Moss, Bri. I really did. You could have got him for the same price that you got Hines. I mean, what are your feelings about Nyheim Hines?
Yeah, I think Hines is a guy that that I've been wanting for years now, really. Now, assuming that the type of guy, assuming that Nick Chubb is going to be back and hopefully eventually to the right Nick Chubb status. But Nyheim Hines is a guy that he's a third down back. He can make plays. We saw it in Indianapolis. He was more of a special teams guy with the Bills, but in Indianapolis, he was a guy that you could throw to, you know, 6-7 times, and, you know, he would kind of catch the ball. And they had a similar setup as the Browns do with Jonathan Taylor. You have your stud workhorse back, but then Nyheim Hines would come in and spell him on third down. And I don't know if that's the role that he's going to take here, or if Pierre Strong has that role, that third down back guy to catch a lot in the backfield. But Hines is a guy that has done it. He's a veteran. He's proven he can do it. So I think, again, 1 year, $3.5 million is low risk. You know, let him and Pierre Strong battle it out. I still think they need a thumper. If they're uncertain at all about when Nick Chubb is going to return, I don't think he can go in with Strong and Hines as your two and three backs and just rely on Jerome Ford, because even Jerome Ford is not a very big running back. So you need a guy to that's why you texted me that that the Green Bay running backs might be available. And I said I would take A.J. Dillon just because he hasn't had great production. Like, his yards per carry is not great, but he's just a workhorse. You can give it to him until Nick Chubb is ready. And who knows, behind this offensive line, maybe he has better production. But I still feel like we need if you don't think Nick Chubb – and even when Nick Chubb comes back, you need somebody to share – like short yardage carries with him. So I still think they could maybe, and maybe it's in the draft with a fifth or sixth round pick, get a guy that's 220, 230 and just stout.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that, I think that's what they need to do too, Bri. I mean, I think they're going to find another running back. I don't know. It'll probably be right around training camp. I think they'll bring another guy in to kind of help out. I mean, that's kind of normally what they do with a veteran. And I still think they need some power and some pop there at running back, especially with Chubb not going to be ready for week one. But, Bri, we're going to have to rip off the Band-Aid a little bit, and I don't want to do it because it's not that I don't like the person. It's not that I don't care about the person. It's just I'm tired of talking about this. For one, Joe Flacco's gone, all right? And it's okay that Joe Flacco is gone. He gave us a magical five games. Obviously, the Browns saw enough that they did not want to resign him. And it would have been, I believe, in a disastrous PR move if they did. Because if something would have happened in the first few games that Watson comes back, the blowback from the fans and everybody else, if Watson turns out bad, is just going to be unrelenting. And you're just going to hear nothing but Joe Flacco talk for the next 6 months. Okay. He also got the same deal. We did bring in Jameis Winston. All right. Now, Bri, Jameis Winston is a high draft pick. Number one overall pick, if I do remember. Had the 30 for 30 season, has thrown for 5,000 yards. But people, let's remember, he's not here to be our starter. He's here to be a backup quarterback. Why are we getting so goddamn worked up over a backup quarterback, Bri? It is unreal what's going on with this city. Like, it is like this city is like the backup quarterback. Just everybody, just screw the starter, put it in the backup. What is going on here? Like, why is this such a big deal, Bri?
People are emotional. And I've said over the last couple of years, I didn't realize how like emotional and temperamental some Browns fans are. Like, You know, it started with Baker Mayfield. They'll latch onto a single. It's almost, it reminds me of the NBA, to where people root for a player and then that's their guy. And when he leaves that team, they maybe go root for that team. That, like, I'm a Browns fan. I'm always going to be a Browns fan. Whoever the Browns starting quarterback is going to be, that's the guy I'm going to be rooting for. And so if that Browns starting quarterback, he's our best hope to have success. I'm not hoping that the start – and I did it before, self-admittedly, with Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel. I rooted against Johnny Manziel, and I was miserable. You know, am I supposed to celebrate when our starting quarterback, the face of our franchise, is struggling and throwing interception after interception? No. But people have drawn their lines in the sand. Even though, like I said, I'm a Browns fan first. I care about wins more than anything else. And so this, our starting quarterback is 4-1. The fan favorite Joe Flacco quarterback is 4-1. That's all I care about. I don't care about how many yards, touch, you look like this, you did that. You know, Deshaun Watson is 8-4. You know, if I told you 5 years ago that we had a franchise quarterback who was 8-4 and fans can't wait to get rid of him, you know, you would call me absolutely crazy. And so,
yeah, but Brian, yeah, you say that in 8-4 in one season. It's different. It's three seasons now. Like, it's not just one season.
Two seasons. And when you traded for him, you knew that there was baggage there. You knew he was not playing a whole season. And the other one is injury related. So you can't predict injuries. And I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe if you're a fan that says, I prefer my quarterback not to run around a ton. That's actually an argument that I understand a little bit. Because you're just asking for an injury, and thankfully Lamar Jackson stayed, well, thankfully for their fans, Lamar Jackson stayed healthy this entire year, but there's always that increased risk. So if that's your concern with Deshaun Watson, I understand that because he's a mobile quarterback, but for the most part, most people, that is not their concern. They just, for whatever reason, they've made up their mind. They don't like him, and they're going to root against him, even if he's your quarterback. And so anybody who comes in and has a little bit of success, they're going to latch onto that guy and just clutch him like, that's my Joe Flacco. I love Joe Flacco. I'll never let him go. I thought Tony Grossi was going to cry on the air today. He acts like somebody shot his dog.
I don't know what they expect, because this is like the other question that Justin just brought up here. He goes, how's it going to be since they didn't resign Flacco? And if Watson gets hurt or doesn't perform, well, guess what? At that point in time, we're not winning the Super Bowl. All right. Flacco is not taking us to the Super Bowl. It has happened one time in NFL history where lightning caught in a bottle and the Eagles won with Nick Foles. One time. Like, you don't understand. If you look at this year, all the people that were in the playoffs late, all were starting quarterbacks. There was no backup quarterbacks in the conference champions. It's not going to happen, because there's a reason why they are a backup quarterback.
People have convinced themselves in Cleveland that Joe Flacco at 39 years old is the equivalent to Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. And like, hey, Tom Brady did it at that age. Why can't Joe Flacco do it? Which, you know, I guess in theory maybe is possible. But yeah, there weren't teams lined up for Joe Flacco's services this offseason like they were Tom Brady when he was 39 or 40 years old and looking for a new team. So it was a magical run. Nobody can take that away from us. But I don't think, in all reality, there's a huge drop-off between Winston and Flacco at this point in their career. And I think it goes, you know, people, anything that happens with the Browns that they're unhappy about, they're just going to blame Deshaun Watson. Like, how many people have you heard this week say, well, the reason Joe Flacco's not back is Deshaun Watson stormed into their Andrew Berry's office and he said, I can't have this quarterback be my backup. There's no way in hell. And so people just want to believe that because they have this preconceived notion that, well, there's no way Deshaun Watson wants this. And honestly, for me, I'm happy that we're getting this all out of the way now, even if it continues for 3-4 more weeks. At least it's happening now, and then when football comes, we can focus on football rather than having this distraction throughout the year. And I told you a month ago, 2 months ago, when the talk first started about bringing Joe Flacco back, I said the reason you can't bring Joe Flacco back, it's not because of Deshaun Watson. It's not because of anything. The reason you can't bring him back is because of the people that love him the most. They're just going to make it insufferable for everybody else. And let them make it insufferable for us now in March and into April rather than in September and October and November. Whenever Pat Mahomes has a bad game, Josh Allen has a bad game, you know, the best quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, has a bad game, maybe 2-3 in a row. But if Deshaun Watson has 2 bad games in a row, it was always, always, always going to be, even if it's a small vocal minority, it was always going to be people just, hey, I got to make sure I call into this show today. I got to put it out on social media how much I hate Deshaun Watson and how the Browns are just making the biggest mistake in the world by not playing Joe Flacco. So, you know, we take care of all that now and we move forward with the team we have.
Yep. And it just, by the way, now that you're drinking again, a certain word was brought up in our comments. I hope you have a beer. Massage has been said. So there it is. Bri is drinking again. So we have that. That's why I didn't say it last week, Justin, because he was on a little month sabbatical taking a break. But I am looking forward to next weekend, next Sunday, Bri. I am pumped for it. So how many people are going to be showing up to this thing?
Oh, I don't know. There's always everyone's kind of straggling with their replies, but 15, 20, probably. You got the back room at B-Dubs here in Medina, so I'm sure there'll be a college basketball game going on that we can – I was thinking today maybe I should do squares or something for whatever game is at noon or 1 o'clock, and we can pitch in $1 a square, maybe $5 for like 2 squares or something. I'll figure it out.
Sounds good to me. That'd be awesome, bud. I'm in. Let's just see here. Yeah, and I know, Justin. Everybody said it's a mistake. But the thing is we've already signed him. He's already here. He's talking about Deshaun, you know, being signed here. And he's already here. And there's nothing we can do. Guess what? If Deshaun craps the bed this year, you probably kiss his ass goodbye because they're not going to put up with it because it's be last year. And they'll be getting ready to get a first-round pick again next year. So it's one of those things that, you know, they took a chance. They took a flyer, Bri. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But they thought they had their guy. He's injured now. And there's so many questions with it. His shoulder, his throwing shoulder had surgery on it. We don't know what we're getting back now, okay? I get that. It just sucks because I don't want to be in this spot. While everybody else knows, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes is our quarterback. He's going to be great next year. He already won us a Super Bowl. We still haven't got there yet, Bri. Like, we got him. He's here. Has he been great? Yeah. Has he been good? Yeah. But he hasn't been what we thought he was going to be.
The most frustrating people that I hear, and it's just – I want to jump through sometimes the phone or the radio or something, just the people that are so certain that this is going to happen this way. And when it comes to Deshaun especially, but also it comes to Nick Chubb, you know, people, I guarantee you this is going to happen. And it's like, you don't know. Dude, you don't know. You are probably dumber than 90% of the people out there. So for you to say you know this is going to happen, you sound like a moron. But they'll continue to do it because they don't know any better. So it's hard for me to even waste my time and my energy to listen to that stuff because nobody knows. I'm hopeful. I can't sit here and say I know Deshaun Watson is going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. I was thinking the other day, I still believe he can take you to the AFC Championship. Can he take you to a Super Bowl? I don't, maybe, but I'm not going to say that I, with the way Patrick Mahomes is playing, anybody in the conference, nobody can say that, oh, yeah, I feel confident going to the Super Bowl, because you're lying. Because until Mahomes proves that he loses one or two times in the playoffs, you know, nobody's getting through the AFC that way. But I believe, I truly believe still that he can take you to the NFC or AFC Championship game. So for me, I'm keeping the faith. Do I know for sure that's going to happen? Of course not. No, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to sit here and declare this is going to happen, especially with a shoulder injury. But, you know, with Jameis Winston, bringing it full circle, he's a guy that his game closer emulates what Deshaun Watson does than Joe Flacco. And it could be as simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, it's also a brand new offensive coordinator. Might be who he wants. You know, Van Pelt. Yeah, might
he's always had a mobile quarterback. So, yeah. You know, that right there could be the answer.
All right, everybody, we are going to get off of this, and we'll save this for next week when we get fired up again.
I'm sure the rest of the offseason.
Oh yeah, definitely the rest of the offseason. Let's get into Fat Boy Thursday, Bri. Here we go, and welcome to Fat Boy Thursday. Not even close to that guy, but I'll get a new one made. Brian, let's talk St. Patty's Day. St. Patty's Day is coming up. Obviously, corned beef, cabbage, red potatoes, Reubens, everything corned beef pretty much here in Cleveland. Cleveland does a nice way here. And I just want your thoughts on being in Cleveland, doing St. Patty's Day in Cleveland. I know you have. What are your thoughts about how good Cleveland puts on a St. Patty's Day?
Oh, I mean, it's top notch. So I've been to Chicago as well, and Chicago is just a madhouse. And I've never been to Boston for St. Patty's Day, but I hear crazy things about that town too. But yeah, it's just, I think there's a lot of Irish people around, and it's kind of like as Zach was saying, you know, you have to wait all this time to get into an Irish pub where, you know, on Monday you'll be able to get in there no problem. It's similar to for me. Cinco de Mayo. You wait in line for 2 hours to go get a couple tacos at a Mexican restaurant. It's like everybody wants to do it. And so, it's fun if you can get to a place where you can bar hop, you can go to a couple different places to where you don't have to be driving around a whole lot. So it's just the time to have a great – unfortunately, this year with it being leap year, it wasn't on a Saturday, so it's on a Sunday. So – sure, there's a lot of people taking Monday off, but yeah. It's time to get together with friends, have a good time.
Oh, heck yeah! And you can't go wrong with the green beer and a corn. Now, Bri, are you a fan of corned beef?
No, not particularly. I'll eat it, but I don't think I'd ever order it.
Okay, but you will for if it's St. Patrick's Day, you'll order corned beef.
I won't order it. No, but I'll eat it. If I go to a party and that's what they're serving, I'll have a sandwich. Sure.
All right. I know some of the spreads that everybody does, but I know the one spread that everybody's really got to go check out, and Mr. B's. Mr. B's puts on a St. Patty's Day party like you wouldn't believe, and the food that they have there, Bri, it's unreal. He brings in so much corned beef for that day because that is like one of their super holidays at that bar, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing. I think it's like $10 or $15 for a plate. And you get carrots, cabbage, potatoes, just, oh my God, it's so good. So if you get a chance, go check out Mr. B's there on 130th. We've been to a few other places. Also, if I believe it's still open, the local Leprechaun in Westlake, go check them out. They do a great time there. And then I believe Fatheads is doing a great thing down in Middleburg Heights. They're doing something for their brewery. But man, what I love is first thing in the morning, and I remember this vividly by my Irish roommate that I love so much, smacked me in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, handed me a shot of Jameson and goes, it's St. Patty's Day. Let's go. I was like, geez, we're starting this off early. All right, here we go. And you pretty much make it to lunch and then you're kind of done after that, but at least you get to see the parade. So Bri, with St. Patty's Day and everything else, let's roll into our top three while we're doing it. Brian, what's your top three things that you like for St. Patty's Day? Like whether it be food, drink, atmosphere, what's your top three things for St. Patty's Day?
Yeah. So my number three is going to be something. I don't know if it's really, unique to St. Patty's Day, but I know it's an Irish thing. When I go to an Irish pub, I'll get some Boxty, which has been a while, and I'm trying to think exactly. Is it? It's like a potato pancake or something. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. What, yeah. So, Boxty.
Boxty. Let me look it up.
Not a poochki. No, not a poochki. A boxty.
Boxty.
Spelled just how it sounds. If it's what I'm thinking of, it's like an Irish, or it's potato pancake, maybe some sour cream or something like that. So that would be my number three. My number two, even though I'm not a huge Reuben fan, with corned beef, place down here, Irish pub in Medina, called Sully's, which I'm sure there's going to be a line out the door on Sunday. They make these Reuben egg rolls. And so just cannot beat them. Little Thousand Island to dip it in, just top notch. Even if it's not St. Patty's Day. And then my number one, simple as green beer, I guess, or any kind of beer, or I'm not a huge fan of Guinness, but Schmidtix is kind of the Irish beer for me to go to. So give me more.
All right, I'm trying to find it here. I'll find it here in a second. Number three for me, Bri, near and dear to my heart. My family eats it all the time. Shepherd's pie. Dude, I cannot get enough of shepherd's pie. I love shepherd's pie. Just such a good food, especially with the mashed potatoes on top. You get everything kind of one bite. So good. Number two for me, Bri, I got to go with the corned beef, bud. I go with either corned beef and cabbage or a corned beef sandwich or a Reuben, or I just dress it up however I want to dress it up. I got to have corned beef for St. Patty's Day. And Bri, my number one, similar to yours, even though you do green beer, I do Irish whiskey. You give me some Jameson or some Tullamore Dew, we're good to go. Always do shots of Tullamore Dew with my buddies on St. Patty's Day. If you never had it, please go try it. Tullamore Dew is amazing. And, man, that Jameson goes down smooth on St. Patty's Day. Oh, do I dare forget the honorable mention? Irish car bombs, Bri.
Oh, it's been a while since an Irish car bomb.
Oh, buddy, get those going. You're going to have a great time.
I didn't even realize I'm wearing St. Patty's colors today. That was not intentional, but a great coincidence. So I'll be Irish today.
All right, let's do our trivia and we'll get out of here. We'll end the night and we'll get back next week. So the trivia, Bri, that you gave me is how many top five picks are on the Cavs right now?
Right.
Okay. Can I go with three? I'm going to go with three.
Okay. Give me the names.
Isaac Cora wasn't a top five, was he?
He was?
Oh, there it
five.
Is.
Five. Sorry. He was Mobley? Five.
Mobley
was three.
Jared Allen?
Nope.
Is it three though?
It's four. So there's two more you got.
Garland was later, wasn't he?
Yep. No, you got him. There's Garland. Okay. There's three. Garland,
number four. Was it LeVert?
Nope. Maybe a forgotten guy. Hopefully coming back soon.
Tristan Thompson?
There you go. Nope.
No way.
Remember, Kyrie was one, and Tristan Thompson was four.
I thought he was later than four. Ain't that some shit? That's a good one, Bri.
Yeah, four first-rounders. And I think I was thinking Garland was the fourth pick, but I saw today he was a fifth pick. So two number fives, a four, and a three.
Wow. And our Donovan Mitchell wasn't on there, was he?
No, he was maybe mid-first round. I think 13th or something.
All right, well, that'll work. All right, Bri, we're here at the end of the show. We want to thank everybody for watching. We want to thank City Dogs and Harold Keel from APA for supporting us and sponsoring us. Also want to thank Network 216 for allowing us to be on their network. I know I dropped a few bombs tonight. We got to clean that up a little bit, but I get excited on certain things. On that note, we want to thank our troops and first responders for everything you guys do. Can't thank you enough. Bri, God bless them.
Yeah, thank you to Zach as well. God bless you. God bless America.
All right. I am that fat guy. We're uncorked. We're unloading. We're out. See you guys next Thursday. See you.